Our message this morning is stand still and see. Stand still and see. Sometimes we find ourselves in between a rock and a hard place. And our faith in our Lord will be tested. How many know that your faith in God is going to be tested? God will have us at times to be in a working zone. I want to call it a working zone. Sometimes God will allow us to do certain things along with him to accomplish certain things in our lives. I hope you're getting this. And I call that the working zone. In other words, if you want to go to college, you don't want to just sit down and not go fill out the application. If you know that you're a senior and certain courses that you need to take and certain things you need to do, you just don't wait for God to take those tests for you and to do these certain things. There are some things that you need to do along with God. But God has a way of giving you favor with those who are in authority that who can help you. Anybody with me? I'm just trying to explain a little bit about what I call, this is what I call the working zone in life for us. Where there's something that God requires of us to do. Sometimes we find ourselves in the worrying zone. I mean, we just start worrying about everything. Now I want to say to you, most of you already know, that zone God don't want us to be in. That worrying zone is like the twilight zone. It is a place that you do not want to be. All right? But sometimes, because of fear, we find ourselves in the worrying zone, anxiety, you know, that stress. But God is saying, when you understand who I am, when you understand my abilities, see, who he is, meaning understanding not only his characteristics, but as you see his characteristics, you begin to see his abilities. And now here's the thing. Once I realize that God's abilities far surpass my abilities and also even the abilities of my enemies. And then what God is saying, now you depend on me. Now, a lot of times, because God seems to be so humble in the Word of God, and God is so kind, and God permit us to do some crazy things sometimes, don't it, church? But if you would ever read Job around 38 to 40, around in that area, you hear God speaking to Job in such language that I don't think you really hear this throughout the whole Bible. There's over 77 questions that God asked Job and knew when he asked Job, he couldn't answer one. And you got to see who Job was. He was a wise man. He was a godly man. Whoa. How many agree that he was a godly man, a wise man? You know that from the Word of God, right? I'm going somewhere with this. Even being a wise man, a godly man, someone who eschewed evil, he still could not answer one question that God asked him. Where did this come from? How did this happen? What am I saying? Many times God, in that expression, how God came out so strong with him, he said, so you want to counsel me. You want to have a talk with me. You wondering what's going on with you in your life and why is these crises upon you and your family when you walk with God, you talk with God, you pray with God, you sacrifice to God. Now, why is all of this? And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes God will not answer you. And when you read those questions, he said, wait a minute. I need to write this in the Bible too. And Job, I'm sorry it has to be with you, but I can't find a better candidate to ask these 77 questions. He said, because sometimes people want to look at their walk with me or their relationship with me, and they believe that it puts them above me or put them on par with me. No matter how much God loves you, and he loves me, he's never going to put you on the same par and call you God. There are some things he will withhold from you, and it don't mean you're not godly. Doesn't mean you're not walking right. Doesn't mean you're not talking right. Doesn't mean that you are not sacrificed as you should. But it's just a God thing. It's a sovereign thing. I'm glad he put that in there. Because what it does, you get a chance, you read that. I was just going through that list last night, and I said, wow, I couldn't stop. I wanted to stop, but I just couldn't stop. The things that God said, you get a chance, you read that. But I said that because when we get into that worrying zone, you need to read that to see who God is. Okay. But not only is there a working zone, a worrying zone, but there's a waiting zone. You know, I gave you all W's so you can easily remember that. A waiting zone. Now, how many know we're living in an instant society? We don't like to wait on nothing. I want it quick, fast, and in a hurry. Right now. And sometimes you see folks get bold with God. I want you to do it, God, but do it right now. You about to go over there and read Job. You about to know who you're talking to. Amen. God's people at the Red Sea. Let's go over, and it's a familiar story, Exodus chapter 14. I'm not going to read all of it, verse 13 and 14. We know that God had brought his people out of Egypt, and they found themselves with Pharaoh at their back and the Red Sea before them, and now all of a sudden fear is arising. And you see, this is a couple of things that fear does to you when you find yourself in a situation of fear. Fear can either energize you to a point that you are running and you're trying to flee the danger, or you're trying to do all that you can, and sometimes fear can paralyze you. It can cripple you, just so afraid that, boom, you follow what I'm saying? Because you find yourself between a rock and a hard place. You find yourself sometimes in a position, no matter what you do, it's not going to be enough to rescue you. And I'm glad God put situation in the Bible that we can go back and see God at work. So this is the situation they was in. And the people that was behind them wanted to slaughter them. Because you got to see, God had killed their firstborn to deliver Israel out of bondage. When I see the blood of the doorpost, I pass by your house. But many of those Egyptians had lost their children. Some have lost their health. And then they still had to free God's people, because God had said, when I bring them out, I'm going to bring them out with a mighty hand. You see, sometimes your situation is just set up for the glory of God. Sometimes God want to use you as an instrument or a vessel for his own glory. Sometimes God says, if I don't set this situation up, I can't show folk how great I am. And sometimes we will say, God, I hope you, I don't mean no harm, but I wish you used somebody else. Wait a minute. How many times have we all said, Watch this. God, use me for, come on, I got one witness. For your what? Your glory. But when we say that, we talking about an easy test. I don't know about you. Lord, use me for your glory to win a soul to the Lord. Lord, use me for your glory to help somebody along the way. That they can see God in me and I help them. Are you with me? But see, here's the thing. We got to realize when you tell God to use you for his glory, you can't tell him how to use you or what situation to put you in. Now, see, we already got in our mind where we want to go, what we want to do, and then we want to call it, that's for your glory. But God say, sometime I need somebody to go in a fiery furnace for my glory. Sometimes, not only do I need you to go in, I need to get in there with you and bring you out. Every now and then I put you in the lion's den, a den that's full of lions. And to show my glory over the animal kingdom, I let them, though they were hungry and starving, ready to rip you to pieces, but I take their appetite from them. But other times, I won't bring you out of the furnace of your situation. I won't bring you out of the lion's mouth every time. Some of those times, in order to get my glory for the day, I let you go through. You see, sometimes it's like when we are praying for folk and when they're sick and you're praying, God, save them. God, bring them through. He'll bring this one through and the other ones, he'll take them through. But it's for his glory. Let me get back to the word. But am I making any sense? Down to the 13th verse, it says, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. I call this the waiting zone. There's sometimes God will tell you, don't want you to fight with me this time. Don't want you to help this time. Sometimes I want you to hold your peace. Sometimes I want you to get still. Sometimes I don't want a partial trust of my power and my love for you. I want your undivided attention. I want you to fully trust me. Now, you know, sometimes we can trust God, but so far, we don't want to say that. It's not spiritual to say that. So I don't care if you don't say that. I'm not asking you to say that, but I know you guys because I know myself. I'll trust him so far, you know, so far. And part of the trust is going to still be on me so far. But sometimes God says, let it go. Mm-mm. God, I ain't letting this go. I don't mean no harm. I mean, look, I'll stretch out on it. Look, you got to see this? I'll stretch. Now, I think because I'm stretching, I'm doing God a favor. God said, let me tell you something. What you holding on to in my face when I tell you let it go, that is your strong arm. That is your savior. You say what you want to say to me. You see, you feel that you or who you are, you're getting along, how you're getting along, you're doing pretty good because of what you're holding on to. And God says, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I am your lover. I am the love of your life. I am the lover of your soul. But I watch you. I tell you to let go and let God. But you're holding on. You are telling me in my face that you're acting spiritual, that what you're holding on is your savior, is your rescuer. So God sometimes will tell you, stand still. Don't get involved. And I want you to watch, gaze upon, selah, stop and meditate upon, that you will see. What do God want you to see? That you can tell others that some of us sometimes we holding on, and sometimes God want to use somebody. Because let me tell you something. When you do this number here, and the witnesses who you're trying to witness to about the goodness of the Lord. You're trying to preach to, you're trying to teach about the goodness of the Lord. And they keep looking. Sometimes they can't see God because they're watching what you're holding on to. Now, it's God what you're holding on to. Oh, it's God. And sometimes God will place himself just out of reach of you holding on. So you trying to, come here, Lamont, stand right here. Come a little closer where I can touch you. All right, now move back. Hold. Sometimes, move back further where I can't touch you. Okay, well, sometimes, see, you know in your mind, I need to hold on to the mighty hand of God. I need to stay in fellowship with my God. But my security, I'm torn between two masters. I'm trying to reach God, but God purposely put himself in a position that in order for you can reach me. I'm not out of reach. You just got to let go. See, now you can say, God, I ain't got nothing but you. He said, you right where I want. See, everybody can talk yang yang. They still holding on. They can talk spiritual. You ain't got nothing but me. What was the three zones I said? Working zone. Sometimes he'll want you to work along with him. He got something for you to do. Because he had something for Moses to do. When he sent Moses back, you know, he had the burning bush. He sent him back to get his people. Moses, you're going to participate. And Moses didn't want to participate. I can't speak. He said, who made your mouth, Moses? Well, in the end, he said, okay, let Aaron speak for you. But you're still going to work. But sometimes. Now, I tell you what, I believe we like it a little bit better when we're in the working zone. We can participate. But it's something about having to depend on God. And even though you want the help, you can't help. I will show you all of that. I mean, it's right here. But let me move on. See, what it is, it's good to me, but I got to get myself together. I got to get like y'all out there to finish. I can't be excited about this. Good news. To get through it now. See, I shouldn't be emotional about the word of God. See, I don't have to have the ivory, the drum, but I got to have this word. So if you see me acting a little unseemly and you don't hear a beat, blam, and you don't hear the string, ding, 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 And you don't hear the keyboard. You see, I'm hearing the strings of glory. I'm hearing the drum beat of God's call. Ah, I just love the word of God. But he says that you're not going. There are some things we're going to keep on seeing because we're going to keep on fighting. Because we think the fight is ours. But 14 says the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Well, God, what am I going to do if you're going to fight for me? Hold your peace. Stand down. And you got some situations, some big ones, some things coming, and you fought. And it seems like it's just getting worse, and ain't nothing happening. You know, sometimes you got to say, well, Lord, I'm in that waiting zone right now. Well, why you ain't still doing this? I remember I used to talk to some people, man, and I got frustrated, a couple of brothers, and trying to get them to do what's right. And I got so frustrated, and I just said, you know what? I went back to them and apologized. I said, you know what? I'm through with you guys. I'm not messing with you guys no more because you're going to do what you want to do, blah, 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 blah. And the funny thing, one of them said to me, he said, no, Pastor, don't do that. Don't you dare. Keep on. These weren't unsaved people. These were saved people. Keep on talking. I may get around. No, you were settled in your mind, doing it the wrong way. You have made it the right way in your mind, and you're going to continue to do the wrong way, but you're not going to convince me, but I'm not going to keep wasting my time with you. Let me move on. That's a long story. That one would preach too. And then I looked at the Lord, why you had me to talk to these guys? But anyway, praise the Lord. Okay, you know the story. God opened up the Red Sea, and Israel came over on dry land, and he drowned Pharaoh's army. Now, there are some things that you need to be drowned, but they cannot be drowned unless God opens up the Red Sea of that situation to drown it. You know, the Bible, Peter speaks about Satan as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. Okay, but sometimes we need to, and that's true. But sometimes we need to talk about what God devours. Sometimes we can get so much on that what Satan is doing, sometimes we forget what God is doing and what God can do. You got to catch that. What God is doing and what God is capable of doing. See, sometimes God may not do it for me, but I need to keep telling you are capable. You are capable because your words say you are. And God, what I need you to do, I need you to help me to believe in your capability. Another person, they believe that you're capable, but I have step. I can go but so far, but I'm not. But God, if you park yourself out of reach, I'm coming back this way. Because you know what? But this is what we're doing sometimes. You know what you're really saying? Catch this. When you do this, and you know God is trying to get your attention, and you do this. God feels that, is this your God, or am I your God? He said, it's hard to serve two masters. See, God, when it comes to God, he don't like that two stuff. God don't want no rival with you. No, sir. God do not want no rival with you. God do not want nobody, your wife, your husband, your children, to love them more than you love him. I know it's a little quiet in here. Because what you do, you prove my point. Because some things you say, preacher, stay away from my children. Stay away from my wife or my husband. I know God is all that, but don't put him ahead of them. And that's the problem. He must have the preeminence. Many times he'll put us in situations But that waiting zone is a terrible zone. But let me move on. I'm not going to go through that. You know that pretty well, and you can finish reading that. But I wanted to show you that part. But I want to go over to Acts chapter 12 with Peter. There's another situation. I'm dealing with that waiting zone. When he, you know, King Herod, trying to impress the people, the Jews, and he had already killed James, and he has Peter in prison. And I heard something else too. Was it that James was less spiritual than Peter? That he died in that situation? He was killed in that situation? What was it? It was just the sovereign will of God. It wasn't that it was something special about Peter or something less special about James. It was just the sovereign will of God. That James would be the first, but I want to show you something too, tie it up for you. Remember James and John, and their mama wanted to know about their position in the kingdom, didn't it? And then Jesus said, you can't go through what I go through. And yet you would go through some of the things, and here it is here, death. But here's the thing. Watch this. James was the first apostle to die, was James. But watch this now. But the last was John on the Isle of Patmos. So God was doing something special with those boys, but he was doing it according to his own sovereign will. So now here's the situation that Peter found himself in, that James is dead, and they're waiting to kill Peter. Verse 5 says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. I want you to see this. See, we must pick up the principles of God's words and understand how God works. Now, he was in a difficult situation, but intercessory prayer went up to heaven from the church. That's the reason, that's one of the reasons why God wants every believer to be a part of a local body of believers as a church. You see, sometimes we can't personally go to the jail and get the person out. But we always can go to heaven on their behalf before the Almighty God. Even if we don't know God's will, we can inquire in heaven. And we can ask, we can petition for help on earth. It says, who was praying? The church was praying. I believe, because we don't understand protocol many times. I really do. Because I'm not talking about what I'm saying. I'm just saying how I see scripture work. Sometimes we don't follow protocol, and we just get so spiritual, just do it. And it ain't about whether you're spiritual or not, but what it is, God has an order. God is the God of order. And God had, that church was praying constantly on Peter's behalf. First of all, it shows me with the answer to prayer, The church was doing exactly what God wanted the church to do. Talk to me about Peter. You can talk to yourselves as much as you want. You can't help him. But talk to me as a group, as a body. And you see, some things we may never get here at New Berean Baptist Church if we don't start praying as a body. There may be a whole lot of things that will elude us because we refuse to come collectively as a body and pray for those things. Oh, I'm not talking about you praying in your closet. That's one type of prayer that the sovereign God requires. But do not neglect this, because he speaks about neglecting the assembly. It's something about, see, I'm telling you something. It's something about you guys getting up this morning, coming out collectively. I'm telling you, it's something special about you being here. Can I get an amen? It's something different, but it's set up that we come. See, just listen to this old crazy preacher up here. But if you understand, that old crazy preacher has a job to do, and that job is to do before the corporate group. It's to feed the flock. Let's look at this. Are you with me? It says, and when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real. But though he was seeing, thought he was seeing a vision, when they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which, watch this, opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And Peter had come to himself. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the Jewish people. Let me tell you something. Evidently, Peter was tired, but not only that, it had came to a point Peter knew. He had been in prison before for preaching the gospel, but he couldn't help himself. So what he did, he knew he was in the waiting zone. And let me tell you some things that the waiting zone will do for you. The waiting zone, when you're waiting on the Lord, will give you rest. The waiting zone, when you're waiting on the Lord, will give you a reassurance. The waiting zone when you are waiting on the Lord will give you the assurance that God can rescue you. And Peter was sleeping. I want to show you something. The angel came and freed him, didn't he? But the prayers of the church from earth fetched the angel to come to earth. And the angel fetched Peter and brought him out. But it was the prayers of the saints. Don't play down the prayers of the righteous. Don't think it's a little thing. Don't think that I don't have time for that. Okay. Remember? Sometimes God will just step right out of your reach. Mm-hmm. You see, there is my way and your way. And sometimes we say, if it ain't my way, it's what? The highway. But your way and my way, sorry to tell you that, it ain't that important to God. It shouldn't be my way or your way. It should be God's way. You can talk about the power of the angel, but I'll talk about the power of the prayer. Because it was the prayer that affects the angel. And the angel affects Peter. Now, if you reverse that, no prayer. See, sometimes in the waiting zone. See, that's a sermon in itself, the waiting zone. What's in the waiting zone? What's incorporated in the waiting zone? What was incorporated in this waiting zone was God knew he wanted the saints to pray. He let them pray. Now, watch this. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You remember I gave you the three W's? Watch this, Ronnie. Even though Peter was in, Alvin, the waiting zone, but the church was in the working zone. They were working on their knees. Won't they? Then the Bible said, June. They were in the working zone. They didn't get no sleep. But the one that they wanted to rescue, he was at rest because of the prayers of the saints. And sometimes God will work the working zone for the resting zone to get God's result. It ain't our results. It's God's results. Am I getting through? Am I making any sense, any biblical sense? Because there are situations you know about, and you may have some friends, some relatives, or children, or who that's in, and you don't know what to say to them. There's some biblical information coming off the pulpit today that you can use. That you can go back and research and do. I always tell you to do your what? In-depth study. But a lot of times we'll act as though we're empty-handed and we are carrying a spiritual loaded gun. But you won't put your bullets in it. I'm giving you ammunition from the pulpit. What verse did I stop on? Y'all follow me? Okay. And Peter had come to himself. Look, go to 12. It says, now they didn't get the satisfaction, what the expectation of the people, the Jews. You see, sometimes there are enemies and there are situations have expectation of destroying you, expectation of doing you harm. And they really want their expectation. They want it to happen. But here it said it didn't happen, did it? Huh? So it didn't happen, did it? He says, and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. They thought he was going to kill me. They wanted him to kill me, but God blew that out. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Where many were gathered, there, that's the church there. Many was gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. I mean, y'all ladies, y'all play a big important part all through the Bible. All through the Bible, you can see you guys playing a big important part. You know, it's obvious we know what men play, but sometimes you don't know the great part that ladies play in the Word of God. Now, here's something else. Rhoda could not have ran to the church door unless she was in church. Am I right? She had to be in there. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Wait a minute. Oh, let's hold it right here for a minute. I'm not going to stay. I'm not even going to move. I'm going to hold it right here. Sometimes we'll pray and we have no expectation. Sometimes we'll tell the truth. We pray out of a ritual. We pray out of practice. We pray because it looks spiritual. Are you following me? And you got to see this now. You got to see this. But a lot of times we pray and God even answers the prayer, but you pray with no expectation. And sometimes it's caused by, well, I've done it before and nothing happened. Or whatever it may be. It could be a variety of things. Are you with me? But let's look at this. And sometimes, even when you don't have great expectation, God will come and do great things. But here's the thing. After God, then let's go back. But they said that you are beside yourself, yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, it is his angel. See, sometimes to get through the people, that's why I keep preaching. You may say he's the craziest man in the world, but you come back next Sunday, you're going to call me crazy again because I'm going to preach again. I'm going to preach again. In season, out of season. I'm going to preach this word of God. See, because it's not about your expectations of me. It's about God's expectation of me. And here he's saying, and a lot of times, there's some situations, if you want to get through some people, you got to be consistent. You got to do it. Well, I done it before. Do it again. I'm about to do it again. I'm tired. I know you're tired, but do it in your tiredness. When you can do some things for God, and even though you are tired, God will find some strength for you. He's insisting that it was so. So they said, okay, let's go to another. They said, now if you're not beside yourself, having a slip, you're not crazy, well, then it must be his angel. You notice sometimes when you're trying to convince people, they'll move from one argument to another argument. All right? And sometimes what they're trying to do, see, sometimes folk want to explain away your miracle. Sometimes folk want to explain away your miracle. Let me tell you something, you ain't going to explain away my miracle. Well, they really want that. Yes, it was. Well, let me tell you what happened. You can't tell me you weren't there. You can't tell me what happened. I was there. I was a participant. I saw God. I stood still. I seen this situation. Don't tell me this is not a miracle. You talk to the hand. No, because you're not going to reason away my miracle. You're not going to reason away or talk me out of what God has done for me. And also, I won't allow you to be a barricade or a block to those I'm trying to convince to trust God. Because you explain it away, it won't a miracle. Just like they try to explain away the Red Sea opening. Well, it was that time of year that the water was low. At that point, and they walked across. Wait a minute, Mr. Know-it-all, Bible man on the corner, with a beer in your hand and a cigarette too. Want to talk about scripture? Wait a minute. Don't stop there with the crowd. When they walked across, the Bible said on dry land. So if it was that time of the year and the water was low, it still would have been muddy. It'd even walking on wet land. But the Bible, my Bible said dry land. You see, you got to understand that when people want to talk you out of God's miracle, they don't want you to have a miracle. They don't believe in miracles. But I'm going to tell you something. I need all of the miracles of God that I can get. By the way, if you don't want yours, if you don't want your miracle, let me have it. And sometimes, on the opposite side of this, sometimes we can see God working a miracle in somebody else's life when sometimes they don't see it. I can sit there and say, ooh, man. I know what happened. I know what brought that out. I don't care if you don't know. See, even as a spectator, we can see how God is using you, how God is keeping you. Man, I've seen some miracles in people's lives, man, and sometimes I just go, do they even know? I'm scared to even mess with it because they're not going to believe it. If I tell them, whoa, look at this. Man, look at your life, man. We thought you were going to lose that leg and lose your life in that motorcycle accident. And then the wild life that you live. Who would have thought you were on the pulpit reading scriptures? That's a miracle, man. And if you have given your life to the Lord, you may not have been in a church would allow you to get up here. I have received a few miracles. Anybody in the house? My salvation was a miracle. I didn't go to church. Don't believe that you got to come to church to get saved. Now, don't misunderstand this now. If you get saved outside of church, you should come and join a church. Because if you're serious about your salvation, there's a new life for you to discover. And also, you need to be baptized. Water baptism. When you got saved, there was a Holy Ghost baptism. But the water baptism also. And also, you need a deacon and a pastor. You know why I don't get a lot of amens on that one, Brother Barnes? Because a lot of people don't know that scripture. When I say that, I'm not saying it just because that's who I am. I'm saying it because your Bible say that. It's amazing how people want to throw the Bible around selectively. Can't do that. You got to do the whole counsel. Okay. Y'all been good to me. So I finished that dinner. I did finish dinner. Did I go down to 18? Huh? Where did I stop at? Y'all got your Bibles? Oh, so y'all follow me in the Bible. Woo, okay. Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with the hand to keep silent, man, I just got out of prison. Don't let them come here. They're looking for me. They throw me back in. Calm down a little bit. But you know what this tells me too? When God answer prayer, it's always right to get emotional. See, the only reason he was telling them, Jew, to be quiet, because he was a wanted man. But if he was in a situation that Herod wanted on his tail, he would say, rejoice, rejoice, oh glory, oh honor, oh praise, go to my God. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. He says, he declared to them how who? The Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go tell these things to James and the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down to Judea and Caesarea and stayed there. You know, y'all got my example, right? When you won't let this go, and God is trying to let this go so he can be God in your life. I don't care what this is, so I'm not naming what that is, okay? Okay, so I don't got the name on it. But when you won't do this, you can't do, and you get blessed, you really can't do what Peter did. Peter gave the glory to the Lord. He said, the Lord got me out of this. Didn't he? But you don't know whether what you helped on got you out or did God get you out. But you can be spiritual and say, God got me out. But when you find yourself in the standstill and see the deliverance of the Lord zone, and then you see what God have done for you, you can tell others, run tell somebody else. Used to be a saying that you tell everything else, go tell this. Anything bad about me, you go tell it. But the day God want to work a miracle with me, is anybody in the house want to go tell that? Once I was blind, you told that. Because I did blind man things. I lived the righteous life as being blind. But now I see. Can you go tell people my eyes are open now? I'm not the same girl I used to be. I'm not the same guy I used to be. I'm not all I want to be. But thank God, I've been changed.